Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, remember when we talked about how, like, Genie Plus selling out and stuff, maybe it wasn't going to happen that often? Well, it turns out that it's... I don't know if we can swear on this. It's Heck Week at Disney World this week. It's spring break, and 3 days next week are already sold out at the Magic Kingdom. And also, concurrent with that, Genie Plus has gone back up to its $29 all-time high price. So, yeah, I think, you know, Genie Plus hasn't sold out yet, but... it is not looking good.
Nope. And I mean, here's the thing. The Magic Kingdom is sold out for as we're recording this, actually the next 4 days. And I mean, it's kind of hard to count Monday, which is tomorrow as we're recording, because that was a recent sellout, but basically the 14th through 16th were sold out as of last week. So they were, and by sold out, we mean no park pass availability. So it's gonna get wild. And I feel like you can almost guarantee they're gonna have Genie Plus sellouts.
Yeah.
And this is, so it's a little bit bonkers to me that Genie Plus hitting the all time high, single day tickets being $164,
oh
I think,
gosh. Yeah.
For Magic Kingdom right now. Right on the heels of just, what, like a week ago, Bob Iger coming out and saying, we have raised our prices too much. We need to be more accessible.
Yeah. Which is good. And I appreciated him saying that. Even if it's lip service, I did appreciate him like going up and admitting like we were a bit too aggressive with pricing.
I appreciate them acknowledging it, but if I acknowledge... Jeremy, I kick you in the shins a lot. You know,
maybe
too I really
much.
Should do I really should try kicking you in the shins less. And then I continue kicking you in the shins? Isn't that going to ring a little hollow to you?
Yeah, I guess we got to see what they're going to do, but they're certainly not going to do anything before spring break.
No. I feel like May-ish might be the earliest that we would see something come of that, because the rest of March essentially is spring break, and then April is Tron.
Right.
And by the way, in addition to already being sold out for next week and likely sometime this week, next week will sell out because not every school has spring break the same week, right? It goes throughout the month of March. After that, Tron opening day has already sold out as well, which... honestly, I don't think should really surprise anybody, but it was a matter of when, not if, right?
The only surprising thing is that it didn't sell out the day, the hour that they announced the Tron opening date. When you could get on and get park reservations for Tron's opening date, even last week, that was surprising to me because I figured every person and their mom would get on there and get park reservations for that day.
I'm somewhat wondering if part of the reason that we have seen the demand for Tron be what it is might be related to less than stellar reviews that are coming out as well. But you know what? It was announced before those reviews were out.
Yeah.
So it was. I can't even say that.
Those reviews
I agree. I'm surprised.
Those reviews have been since pass holder stuff started.
Well, and even cast member previews, I feel like you were starting to hear some rumblings. And by the way, I don't want to get into a lot of that simply because we're both going to have an opportunity to ride this in the relatively near future. Gosh darn it, I hope that we have the opportunity to ride this. Fingers crossed a bit on that because of how early we're visiting, and I remember what Guardians availability looked like in the beginning. But regardless,
dude, I'm worried about So I have heard many things about the size restrictions for Tron, like the human rider size restrictions.
Are you worried that you're going to be too tall or something?
People who are like marathon runners weren't able to ride it because their calves were too big and the restraints could not fully seat over their calves. And when I heard that, and that happened to multiple people, and you can ride in the car at the very back, that it's actually a seat that you sit in, the ADA, you know, row. But yeah, when I heard like people who are peak physical fitness, but they have large calves because they ride a bike or run, I was like, okay, well, then I don't know what my body dimensions are. You know, I have no idea. Do I have big calves? Am I too tall for it? I don't know. But I'm a little bit nervous about the restraint system, given that, like, it just seems very, like, oddly restrictive.
So I have not researched this. And I have simply heard this from one source. So please take this with all of the salt, not just a grain. Take this with all of the salt and do your research. But one thing that I did hear is that calves around 19 inches are going to be the max size that are going to fit. And that is like the toughest area to fit on this. So maybe grab one of those fabric measuring tapes and measure around your calf and see where you're at, and then do a lot more research on, you know, as more reviews come out. I'm sure that that number will either be, yes, that's what the number is, or you'll find out that it's a different number. Again, please understand that this is not, you know, released by Disney, nor have I seen this in a lot of places yet. This is simply what I've started to hear. So I think there's going to be a number.
And I have a friend who wasn't able to experience a Flight of Passage for that reason. The Flight of Passage restraint could not close around his calf, and he had to just get up and walk out.
Yeah. So, and they say that the Tron restriction is tougher than the Flight of Passage restriction.
Okay, so Flight because of Passage does not necessarily mean Tron.
Correct. Yeah, people have said if you don't use Flight of Passage, say, well, I fit on Flight of Passage, so I'll be fine on Tron. Now, I'm not sure if that's because it is any more restrictive or if it's just because it's different, right? Yeah. Like, it's locking a different section down or something like that.
Well, and they do have the cycle outside the attraction that you can get on. And I assume it has some sort of a green light because you get on it and you grab the handlebars and pull them towards you, and that pulls the back down over. And I assume at some point a green light turns on or something happens that tells you, like, this is secure enough for the attraction. Because otherwise, how would you know, you know? You can get on it, and if it feels right, then you get on the actual attraction, and it won't lock down. So they have to have some sort of way to indicate, like, yeah, you're good. You can wait in the five-hour line or whatever.
So, real-time follow-up. I did find a post where somebody said that their husband was 6'4", and was able to ride the Shanghai version.
Okay.
So I don't think your height's going to be an issue, but
well, that's good. Yeah, I'm 6'4", so
that's... if you've got a weird build, right? Like, if you've really worked your calves, maybe, Jeremy, I have an idea. Skip leg day.
I can't.
All my homies hate leg day.
I can't so skip just, it.
Just skip leg day, and you should be good.
Our listeners should know I do not look like a person who has ever been to a gym before. So
Jeremy does not look like a person who has ever skipped leg day. That's what Jeremy looks like.
Nor do I look like a person who's ever done leg. But anyway, it just seems weird.
Yeah, if you're hoping to get on an opening day, it's not going to happen, and you may be riding on the back of the roller coaster, which I do kind of wonder. Because we've heard about so many, and perhaps the issues are being overreported, or perhaps they're not. Do we potentially see a redesign happening where they go back to, I forget who made these cars again. Was it Verkanda or something like that?
Vekoma?
Whoever. Vekoma. There we go. Thank you. Don't ask me where the other thing came from.
That's Verkanda Forever. That's that new Black Panther.
Yes.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one. If they don't go back to Vekoma and say, hey, can we get a redesign with a more forgiving calf restraint? Or, and this would be weird. I recognize this would be weird. Or do they add a train with a normal setup?
It's all ADA cars.
Right. Yeah, where it's like every third train is going to be the ADA train, so that way we can fit all these people. Because otherwise, isn't the line for that back row going to get just ludicrously long?
Yes. That was my next worry, was that the line for the back row is going to be 100 people long.
So you wait an hour and a half in the line after your number gets called, right, for your queue, and then you finally get to the front and it's like, sweet, I'm here. And then, oh, I don't fit on the cycle, so now let me go get in this hour long line mm-hmm. for the back row after I've waited in the hour and a half line.
Because, yeah, I think they're 7 cycles long and then so 7 rows of 2. So, yeah, you're looking at 12 regular ones and then 2 ADA. So, yeah, it's very limited. But I think an ADA, complete ADA train would make sense. I guess it depends. It's going to depend when they open, you know?
Yeah, we'll know a lot more when we start getting reports they are taking full, as they're no longer doing previews and they're taking full crowds for this thing.
I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this, but I find it hard to believe that Imagineering did not consider the physical differences between people who live in Shanghai and people who live in Florida. Do you understand what I'm saying?
100%. And I agree with you, but at the same time, the reports that we're hearing kind of indicate that they didn't.
Yeah, maybe not. Have you also seen the green team exit experience show thing?
I've seen a picture of a Tron cycle with that's in green.
There's like a whole...
And something about green team, but that's all that I've seen. I have not... I've kind of tried to keep myself like minimal spoiler. Yeah.
It's a Enterprise rent-a-car like post-show area.
That's why it's green team, because it's Enterprise?
Yes.
Okay. I both find that disgusting and the best thing ever. I am so excited now.
Think the exit for Test Track, you know, with like all the brand new Chevrolets and stuff, but Enterprise trying to really look cool. Like there's not a big fleet of Ford Focuses and Chevy Equinoxes in there. Like you could rent one of these regular old cars, but yeah, it's green team because of Enterprise.
Okay. I'm here for it, Jeremy, because I still, so the exit to Test Track, that's somewhat okay. It's a bit too on the nose with the marketing for me to really love it. My sweet spot for advertising is still when FedEx sponsored Space Mountain and you had all the different aliens getting FedEx packages.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Like that was peak synergistic marketing to me.
And it was a little bit like cheeky, you know, it was a little self-deprecating. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're delivering boxes. Ooh, but we do it well.
But we can deliver everywhere. Just imagine in the future, FedEx will be delivering to different planets. And it also stuck in my brain.
Yeah. No shade, no lemonade. I don't know anything about Green Team other than, yeah, when I saw it was an Enterprise like post-show thing, it kind of tickled me a bit.
Will they have Enterprise branded merchandise for... Like, will there be some sort of, whether or not it's like available merchandise. I don't know. I'm thinking about the posters at the exit to Dinosaur that were the McDonald's / Dinosaur posters. I need some of that stuff in my life too. So
being fully serious, I with the amount of Enterprise Rent-A-Car logos on Tron, I would imagine every piece of merch is going to include that Enterprise logo. Because it is everywhere. And especially with the green team at the end, like, it's not a subtle sponsorship. I feel like when Mission Space was brought to you by HP, you could have gone through Mission Space and never even realized HP had anything to do with it.
After they stopped walking the line through the HP store, I do agree with that.
So, it kind of, I get what you're saying, that like this is actually pretty good as a form of advertising, as a sponsorship. But man, it's really in your face. And I feel like the way that, you know, what Matt Groening gets his signature on everything that has anything to do with The Simpsons, Enterprise is going to get their little signature on all the shirts and hats and everything that gets sold in the Tron gift shop.
I don't have an issue with that. I just want it to be, I want it to be done well, right? There's a version of that that is just cruddy looking, and there's a version of that that's cheeky, and I would be here for it. So I will admit that I don't have super high hopes for them meeting what I want to see, but I'm not going to assume that they're not going to get there. I will hold out some hope.
Well, and another thing we learned about Tron is the virtual queue will basically have the same rules as Cosmic Rewind. The first drop's at 7 a.m. You don't have to be in the park, but you do have to have a Magic Kingdom park reservation for that day. And then the 1 p.m. drop, you do have to be in Magic Kingdom. And then I'm trying to remember what they said. There's going to be a 6 p.m. one sometimes, depending on what's going on in the Magic Kingdom. But that one will not be daily.
So if they are doing what they did with Cosmic Rewind, they will have that third drop when the select hotels have the additional hours. So I think that is what that's going to be, is if you are staying at a deluxe resort and it's your extra magic hours night at Magic Kingdom, there will be a 6 p.m. drop for those guests. Because that's what they do for Cosmic Rewind. But essentially, there's going to be a 7 a.m. and a 1 p.m. So if you are a park hopper, you don't have a shot at getting Tron.
Right.
Unless you start your day at Magic Kingdom. And that's a little hairy.
You could go to Magic Kingdom and just stand outside and like right at the ticket gates and try.
But and then if you don't get it, leave. Is it basing it off of GPS, or is it basing it off of your ticket has been scanned into the Magic Kingdom?
Oh, yeah. I've always assumed it was GPS. But yeah, I don't know.
I kind of assumed, since it would be tied to a specific guest and Disney knows where that guest, quote unquote, is at any time. And they said in the Magic Kingdom, the easiest way and the most foolproof way for them to determine that would be, was your ticket scanned entering the Magic Kingdom?
So you're saying that if I went to the Magic Kingdom at 8 a.m., scanned my Magic Band, fingerprinted in, immediately about-faced, walked back, went to my hotel, that at 1 p.m. I should still, from my hotel, be able to register for the...
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But I see your point that it feels more like it would be a GPS thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a way that could be abused. Because the 7 a.m. drop, it doesn't matter.
But do they really care at that point? Because either way, you've committed to the Magic Kingdom.
Right, you can be there.
And that's the only place that it's not like you can about face and go to Epcot, which it feels like is more what the, I don't know. Now that you say that, though, I am kind of leaning towards GP, and it could even be a mixture of the two.
It might be. Yeah. If you haven't, it might be if you have scanned into Magic Kingdom that day, then GPS. But if you have not scanned into Magic Kingdom, no. Because right, I'm trying to think of, like, if you are a person who started at Epcot and is going to park hop to Magic Kingdom, you would, if the drop's at 1 and you have the lightningest fingers in the world and you got 1:15, your window ends at 2:15. And you would still technically, at 2, when park hopping becomes available, you would still be able to get into Magic Kingdom and go back to Tron and do Tron by 2:15. But if you have to have gotten into Magic Kingdom before that, that wouldn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. How are they authenticating? Len Testa would know the answer to this, but I don't know what their criteria is for saying in Magic Kingdom.
I mean, Disney's the virtual queue deal, like the screen for virtual queue for Cosmic Rewind specifically says, or try at 1 p.m. after entering Epcot. It doesn't say you must be in Epcot. It says after entering Epcot, which to me kind of feels like we're going to know whether or not you've entered Epcot.
But is there a little tiny number 1, and then at the bottom does it say, or you can stand creepily outside of the front gate or the World Showcase entrance?
It's weird. That's actually exactly what it says. Wow, Jeremy, how did you know?
And, be a real creepo and just stand out there.
Right. It feels weird that they use the word creepily. Okay, Jeremy, I think I have hacked the system. For Cosmic Rewind, doesn't really work for Tron. I'm sorry about you when it comes to Tron, but I have hacked the system for Cosmic Rewind. If you are park hopping and you did not start your day at Epcot, you can get into the 1 p.m. group. You will be in Epcot to do it. All that you have to do is get onto the monorail at 12:58 p.m.
Dude.
And as the monorail loops inside of the park, you are technically inside of Epcot, making your reservation at 1 p.m.
That is actually a perfect test for this.
Because if that does not work, then it is 100% not GPS-based.
That is the only way to be physically inside of a Disney park without having having badged into the park or whatever.
Or less, let's call it honorable ways.
Without being unscrupulous.
There we go. That's the way I wanted to go with that.
Yeah, that's really funny. But yeah, that's the way.
That suddenly came to me. I'm like, how can you get in the park and not be in the monorail?
You would have
barring any other option.
The timing would be so hairy. Does the monorail loop through the park before stopping or after stopping?
I don't remember, but I recommend that if you're ever going to try this, you probably
figure it out.
Or be scrupulous with Disney, be unscrupulous with your phone, and get something to spoof your GPS location, and then put yourself wherever you want to be, and you'll be good. I don't know, man. I'm kind of leaning towards maybe both.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's an if else thing, you know. If you've badged into Epcot sometime that day, then yeah, you have to be there. But if you have not badged into Epcot, then it's not even going to worry about it.
Yeah, because it definitely says once inside Epcot, please check back here at 1 p.m. for another opportunity to join the virtual queue for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
And I was on Grand Fiesta Tour when I got on mine, so.
And your GPS on Grand Fiesta Tour was probably pretty inaccurate. Well, but you were probably on the Disney. No, did you get off Wi-Fi? Did you follow all the rules?
I have never even joined Disney Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Ever.
So then in that case, your your GPS might have been kind of wonky because you were inside of a building.
Yeah. And I was on the edge of the park.
Yeah, it would be like, he's somewhere around here.
That's an interesting question. I hadn't even considered that they might be tracking where you've, you know, checked into, so to speak. But, I mean, well, but in that case, Brad, wouldn't you have to have Epcot park reservations to do the 1 p.m. drop then?
Yes. Yeah, you have to have reservations to do either drop.
So, yeah.
Because you don't have a way to be in the park. Now, with Guardians, depending on the day, and probably not for the next few weeks, spring break. But there have been times where you could have park hopped and still gotten on Guardians because the availability was open past the 2 o'clock hour.
Right.
And so if you were at Epcot right at 2 p.m., you scanned, walked inside the gate, and then immediately got into the virtual queue, you would have been gravy. But I don't think that's going to be happening for Tron in the near future.
Probably not.
Just got a weird tingling sensation when it comes to that.
Hmm.
It's my spidey sense. Well, I'm sorry, I can't use that.
Not east of the Mississippi.
At least, yeah. Dang it.
It's your Groot sense.
There we go.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.